to our first of tonight's speaker, who is Patrick.
Hi, my name is Patrick and I'm an addict. is that right?
Okay.
It's funny being in this building because it reminds me of when I was 11 years old and I was a Catholic choir boy. And I'd been given a big solo, and it was like my big break, you know. And unfortunately, the day before, I think puberty hit, so the whole thing was in like half girl, half boy. It was a disaster, and that's kind of, I guess, a good fortune teller of things to come for me. So yeah, I was musical. I grew up with a mum. Was an artist, and my dad was a jazz musician and in a punk band called the Snivelling Shits. He had one single called I Can't Get It Up When I'm On Speed. So yeah, life was kind of like, but then they kind of did this weird thing where, you know, I wanted to be just like them, an artist, and they kind of suddenly turned around. And we're like, you know, we want you to be a marine biologist or a mathematician, because they didn't want me to have the same, you know, pitfalls as they ended up with. So, of course, it backfired. And I left home at 16. And by that point, I hadn't really, I guess, I hadn't touched drugs or had a drink or anything like that. I was really, like, adamant that I didn't need any of that. I had my imagination, and I had a lot of dreams. And for some reason, although I'd been bullied pretty heavily to the point where I had to change schools a few times and take the school to court, that kind of severity, I kind of had like ambition and the kind of like the idea of success in the future and being a star. Was kind of like going to be my revenge, which didn't involve, drink or drugs. So, of course, that backfired. And by the time I was 18, I went on a one-night stand, and somebody introduced me to a drug that changed my life. And it kind of began a 15-year cycle of self-medication and an escape from actually what was underneath it all, quite a lot of trauma and pain, I guess, from being a teenager and the things that had happened. So that's experience, I guess, before those, the 15 years, it was a spiral of, I did actually realize my dream at 18, and I released an album and I went touring and I did all this, but I was kind of very much, in a state of running away. I'd run away from home at 16. I run away into this kind of vocation and this ambition. And I found a way to kind of, I didn't understand back then that I was traumatized. So anyway, after just a year of, I don't want to name the drugs because I think it's better that we all have the same shared experience, you know, but I was injecting within like a couple of years, and just I felt a bit like I was cryogenically freezing myself. You know, I would go, I would kind of go out into the world and do maybe like, you know, we have jobs and we go out and do our jobs, and then for some reason I just found oblivion as my peaceful place, really. So for some reason I stayed alive and kind of entered a job and kind of like a put a framework around me where people were supportive of my addiction. I had managers and people that were kind of encouraging it. I didn't really understand, you know, it's the mythology of rock and roll, I guess, where they keep the artist dumb, you know, so that they can take the money, which is exactly what happened. And so, yeah, it was kind of like a big chaos going up into my, I'm 35 now, and I'm coming up to 2 years clean. And so those 15 years, so basically I kind of realized what was going on. I realized that I was being encouraged to be a train wreck, you know, and then realized that I was going bankrupt, and then so I decided to fire everyone and change the drugs that I was taking, you know, of course, and decided that, you know, I was gonna go from numbing my pain and numbing my feelings to being a super confident, egotistical, narcissistic maniac. Yeah? And paying for it by the gram, you know, so that happened, and slowly I pushed all my friends away from me. I got a place in London where I was the only one with a key, and then I kind of disappeared for 4 years, like, and pushed everyone away from me, and so that was like 5 years after that. So getting it up to the end of the 15 years, it's confusing to me. Sorry, I'm getting lost in the. It's such a long period of time to sum up, but let me think. Okay. So going back to when I was being bullied at school, there was a moment where I was being kicked and on the floor. And I remember a ring of people around me, and they were saying, "One day we're going to find you on the street, and we're going to be laughing at you, you know, homeless and broke." And I was at that point just before I came into recovery, and I realized that I had, in a way, let them dictate. You know, they created that pain, and then I in the end ruined my life. And it was a great moment. That was my rock bottom. You know, I realized bankruptcy was 2 months away. I was to the point of psychosis where I would get on my bicycle and close my eyes and hope that someone would run me over. You know, all the fun of taking drugs, you know, and going crazy. And that was, you know, that was kind of, it went on for about 6 months. I didn't know about Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't even know, I couldn't say I was an addict. I went to one meeting and I went and I said, "Hi, my name is Patrick." And I thought, why do you want me to say that? Because I'm not, you know. It was and then 6 months later, I decided to go to a meeting and I was able to say, "Hi, my name is Patrick and I'm an addict." And that kind of changed everything. I felt I was finally admitting, I was able to open up a language of talking about, well, even mention the name of the drug that I was taking or had been taking over the years, you know, and hearing other people say these things back. It was a really amazing experience, but I couldn't really get to grips with getting clean. It would take me like 3-4 days. And then started listening a bit more to the suggestions, 90 and 90, that really changed my life. And that was when I finally kicked this habit, and I put everything on hold and just did sometimes 2 meetings a day, and slowly, and then I get to 29 days and I'd relapse, and then I go back to the beginning, and I basically feel like I put the end to chapter one of my life and began chapter two, you know, with this 1990. And the biggest thing, like, there was also getting clean was, I guess my other part of the rock bottom is when my mother had a terminal cancer. And so it was this thing, I remember visiting her in hospital in her chemotherapy. And I was my bloodstream was just like thick with chemicals that I was putting in myself, and then seeing her on the chemotherapy and realizing that I was doing exactly the same. I was poisoning myself too, and I kind of made a pact mentally that I was going to change, and so my recovery I put in side by side with her recovery, and so it's quite sad for me at the moment, because 2 months ago she passed away, and I'm kind of working out that the recovery I now have to take it away from other people and really be proud of this, my rhythm now in recovery, and that it's mine, and it's all mine. I don't know. I'm a bit lost. Sorry. I did have a big thing planned in my head about that.
That's all right. Great.
It was going to be a brilliant moment. But yeah, I mean, where was I? Okay. But I guess this is like grief, you know, it comes in waves and it's like a fog. And I just, this week has been really strange. I have I've had a long suffering partner, a boyfriend that has stuck around for 10 years throughout all of this. And he's a merchandise rock and roll dude, and he's away on tour. And it's the first time I've been on my own with that grief, you know? And so there's like, I guess, a miracle going on, because normally when he would go away on tour, it would be like a recipe for absolute oblivion, you know? But he went away on tour and I put on Channel 4 and cooked for myself and all these things. I guess I have to take stock of how much my life has changed. And I'm the secretary of the meeting on Friday. It's in Soho, which is bizarre because I am probably the most socially awkward person, although I can perform to like 1,000 people. Socially, like, I'm very shy and I don't really make friends that easily. So this is a miracle too, you know, taking a meeting, being a secretary, and feeling comfortable sitting here, actually. Being comfortable, being vulnerable, being awkward, which is, I didn't realize I even was that when recovery started. Okay, 5 minutes, okay. But that was the thing, waking up to these things that I had masked and covered for a long, long time. I didn't know that I was shy, you know. So where do I go from there? I'm only on step 4 after 2 years, which is because there was a lot to go through. I think my sponsor finds me exhausting. But he has a good sense of humor, so I like it when he laughs at when I turn up with step 1 after, which took a year. And then, actually, I'll show you the book. You know, it took longer to kind of like decorate the book, and buy the right pen, and like then turn up and just be like, this is your worst nightmare, you don't know what you've taken on. And it's like, it's 15 years, you know, that's the thing. It's 15 years of oblivion and so many different, not showing up, but so many, all of the drugs, you know. And so there's a lot to go through. And so I guess what we've got, experience, strength. I guess strength is just even getting clean, you know. There was a point where I think all my friends, the ones that were left, would never ever think that I would be at this place in my life. Like, I was a public train wreck, a private train wreck, somehow lovable out of all of that for some reason. If this gives you a clue, I've been arrested once for being not drunk and disorderly, but being drunk and incapable. So it's kind of like self-imploding, like, you know. And so yeah, I pulled myself up by the bootstraps. My future, in terms of like, I'm a songwriter, I used to be really prolific. When I hit the through the ceiling of the drug that I was taking, it destroyed the brain cells that could actually write lyrics. I've written over like 100 songs, and then the moment I touched that drug, all the lyrics stopped completely. Although, and in the last 6 months, I guess the synapses have been connecting slowly. A year and a half later, through recovery, I'm slowly writing again. And I didn't realize it would take that long. You know, that's the thing. I think if I could give any advice to myself back then, I'd say stop immediately, because you don't realize how long it takes to start really recovering. And it was really astonishing to me, because I thought I'd get to 30 days and my life would just be completely normal. And got to 60, 90, got to that 6-month key ring, and it was like, why what is happening? Why can't I get, like, you know? And I just had to learn patience. And my sponsor told me to take a whole year off. And I did, and I'm here, and I'm slowly still recovering after 2 years. And I'm really grateful for NA. I have to constantly remind myself of how bad life was and how so close to killing myself, or how so close to ruining not just my life but other people's, and I have to keep remembering that. Life has been a disaster, but thanks to you guys, I'm gonna turn it into a success story.
Thank you so much. Thank you, mate.